Welcome to another edition of For the Sake of Your Eyes with Dr. Wendy Strauss-Watt of the Dubois Vision Clinic. And we're going to be talking with Dr. Wendy once again today about vision and the learning process. You know, vision disorders are a common health problem in the U.S. Nearly 25% of school-aged children have vision problems. About a third of all children have had an eye examination or vision screening prior to entering school. Here's some more statistics. 11.5% of teenagers have undetected or untreated vision problems. Early detection and treatment of eye and vision problems for children need to be a major public health goal. The earlier a vision problem is diagnosed and treated, the less the potential that negative impact it may have on a child's development and learning. 80 to 90% of what we learn comes from vision. Vision is the result of the child's ability to interpret and understand the information that comes to him or her through his or her eyes. So vision is very important. It's very important to detect vision problems. And Dr. Wendy, first of all, of course, welcome back.
Thank you.
It's great to have you here. And last time we kind of left off talking about some of the different ways that vision problems are detected. Could you continue on telling us a little bit more about some of these vision problems, especially detected in children?
Sure. Nearsightedness or myopia has the principal effect of blurring objects at distance. So these patients, like myself and like you,
yes,
we can see real good up close, but far away things are blurry. Farsightedness or hyperopia may require excessive focusing adjustments and to attempt to overcome or compensate for the farsightedness. And this is especially difficult and demanding during concentrated near-point activities. So farsighted people see real well far away, but they struggle more when they're reading. Astigmatism has the principal effect of blurring vision at distance and near and making near-point activities uncomfortable. If you think of a letter H, the up and down bars are nice and clear. The ones going across are a little blurry. And your eyes have to focus both sets of information, and it can't do that. And the reason is because the front of the eye, instead of being perfectly round like a ball, it's kind of oblong shaped like a football. Mm-hmm. And so there's two points of focus, and they're out of focus, and you have to concentrate back and forth in between. So some people may have almost a double image because that, or letters look double printed. Accommodation or focusing is a skill that's important for school performance when reading. This skill allows for rapid and accurate shifts with instantaneous clarity from one distance to another, like looking from a desk to the blackboard or whiteboard in today's world. It also permits a child to maintain a clear focus at the normal reading distance, which is 16 inches. Now, 16 inches is normal. Kids who are having problems with focusing may hold things closer and closer and closer because it allows them to see better. So you see a lot of kids on their phone, they're holding it right up almost at their nose.
Yeah.
So they're having problems with focusing. Now, the Harmer distance is the distance between the middle knuckle and the elbow, and that's the typical reading distance.
Okay.
But many, many adults and children are not reading at that distance because they either have to hold it too close or further away. So for children with accommodative or focusing problems, print will become progressively blurry as they read for longer periods of time. Sometimes they'll hold the books very closely or lay their heads down. Sometimes bifocal lenses are prescribed to help with inadequate focusing systems. Binocular vision or eye coordination or eye teaming ability is evaluated to find if these skills are accurate for school for performance. Binocular dysfunctions are just one type of vision problem that can hinder school performance. And when you're looking at a phone, a tablet, a computer, you can use one eye. Anything that's lit from behind makes your focus work, focusing system work harder. Mm. Because you focus on the screen, then your eyes relax to a point behind, they focus and relax. And if you're using only one eye, you never develop binocular vision.
Yeah.
And as we've talked before, vision is a learned skill, just like walking or talking. So we can train these kids to use their eyes more efficiently. So they sometimes will become sleepy due to the excessive fatigue of attempting to maintain focus. They may complain of blur, headaches, intermittent double vision, or eye strain. They may rub their eyes a lot, blink excessively, and show unusual sensitivity to light. Or they can have excessive tearing during concentrated activities. their performance will decrease. They will show reduced comprehension, loss of place. They'll leave out words or substitute words. They'll have difficulty copying from the board. They'll have slowness and failure to complete work on time. Homework with these kids takes forever to complete. Unfortunately, symptoms of binocular problems becomes worse with time. Demands brought on by reading and the accompanying loss of comprehension may cause the student's grade and interest in school to decline. Also, they start to have self-image problems. Binocular coordination and focusing problems are common factors causing gifted children to perform significantly below their potential. While struggling to overcome these problems, children either avoid the bothersome tasks or they make adaptations in an attempt to reduce the difficulties they're having. Children with binocular and focusing problems will often be able to read when they're required to do so, but they will avoid close work or reading whenever possible. They will appear to be unmotivated, easily distracted, inattentive, or lazy. And in some instances, children may engage in confrontations with authority in order to avoid reading. Avoidance behaviors can be so effective at masking the visual problem that no outward signs of discomfort will be seen. These children simply refuse to do activities that create fatigue, headaches, and discomfort. They may also avoid visual tasks by becoming good auditory learners or effective and motivated in social, verbal, and athletic activities. When children with binocular and focusing problems choose to do close work in spite of the discomfort, it produces extra stress on the visual system. More efforts required to achieve at a level comparable to those classmates not exhibiting visual problems. Visual stress may lead to postural adaptations when reading or writing. These adaptations include holding the book very close, moving the head while reading, closing or covering one eye, or developing unusual head positions which hide one eye. And as the undetected problem continues over time, the child may become aware of blur. This may be a blurring of the reading material after a short period of time or a transient blurring at distance vision when the student looks up from the desk to the board and back again. In either case, the focusing system is no longer able to make adequate adjustments. Transient blur is frequently followed by a permanent reduction of distance clarity, nearsightedness, or myopia, as the child's eyes gradually adapt to extensive close work. The child's eyes are now more comfortable and efficient when doing close work, but distance vision is sacrificed in the process. The development of nearsightedness is directly related to the excessive amount of near work demanded by our literate society. And since COVID, there's an epidemic of myopia in kids because during that time, they were doing their schoolwork on computers.
Right.
They weren't allowed to go outside. Their fun work was close too. So they were on phones, playing video games on computers, and their eyes lock and focus. Now, the same thing happened to me in eighth grade. We started reading a lot. Our English teacher had us reading books, and I loved to read. And I was getting headaches, but my mom always had headaches, so, you know, I didn't think too much of it. Well, then all of a sudden, my eyes locked in focus in science class. When I looked far away, everything was fuzzy.
Wow.
And my mom was very nearsighted, and she told me, anytime anything's blurry, let me know.
Yeah.
So she took me to the eye doctor, and they didn't do a lot of the close testing that I do as a developmental doctor. And they gave me nearsighted lenses, which fed my overfocusing. So I became more and more and more nearsighted.
Wow.
And I was a swimmer, and I could see the line down the bottom of the pool. Well, now I see about 3 or 4 inches in front of my nose without correction.
Yeah.
So anything that we can do to prevent problems in school or prevent these kids from becoming nearsighted is well worth it.
Sure.
So if the eyes don't operate as an efficient team, a strabismus or an eye turn may exist, and they can be up, down, in, or out. If the two eyes don't work together, good depth perception cannot be present. Strabismus can be a constant or an intermittent condition that occurs only at specific distances or during certain activities. A constant strabismus seldom affects school performance, although depth perception and distance judgment may be poor, and there may be a noticeable turning inward or outward of one eye. By contrast, an intermittent strabismus is likely to cause problems in school performance because of the constant struggle to maintain single, clear vision while doing close work. Task avoidance is common. One symptom includes double vision, and other symptoms are headaches, blurring, hiding, squinting or covering one eye, discomfort or rapid fatigue. Weak muscles seldom cause a strabismus. It's usually due to a faulty control of the eye muscles. And years ago, I had a young boy that his one eye turned, and his mom called it his lying eye, because every time he lied, whoop, there it would go.
It gave him away.
It gave him away.
All right, we're learning about some of the vision problems detected in children and how that can affect the learning process. And Dr. Wendy Strauss-Watt is going to have more on those different problems that can be diagnosed in vision. When we return, it's For the Sake of Your Eyes with Dr. Wendy Strauss-Watt of the DuBois Vision Clinic on Connect FM.
This is Dr. Wendy Strauss-Watt with an eye care message for the sake of your eyes. Everyone starts to experience changes in their vision in their 40s. It's called presbyopia, and there's a decreased ability to focus on near objects. Activities like reading, sewing, and driving may become increasingly difficult. There are many ways to correct this: glasses, contacts, and even refractive surgery. With regular eye exams, problems can be detected early and proper treatments prescribed to ensure good vision. Don't delay. Make an appointment today. Dr. Wendy Strauss-Watt, DuBois Vision Clinic, 90 Beaver Drive, DuBois, 371-2020. Eye movements, or the ability to track a moving target or switch fixation from one target to another, is evaluated. Tracking is the fine eye movement required to accurately follow a line of print and rapidly and accurately return to the next line. This skill also permits easy shifting of the eyes from the desk to the board. Children with tracking problems or oculomotor dysfunctions will often lose their place when they're reading. They'll skip or transpose words and have difficulty comprehending because of their difficulty moving their eyes accurately. Smooth, accurate, and effortless eye movements are necessary for efficient reading, copying tasks, good attention, and competitive athletic performance. Children who have not developed these basic eye movement skills can be at a significant disadvantage. Reading requires very small, discrete, and accurate eye movements or fixations. Those children who fail to develop these skills may show problems as frequently losing their place, reading word or letter reversals, and reduced comprehension. They tend to move their heads while they're reading and often hold the book very close. Copying tasks can be affected by poor eye movement skills. If a child is exceptionally slow or copies incorrectly from the board or from their book, then eye movement as well as focusing problems should be suspected. Typically, when told to pay attention, a child is being requested to look at a person or a book. Problems in paying attention could be caused by an inability to control visual attention. The visual system is very important in the control of attention and the transport of information to the brain for processing. Athletic performance will also suffer from poorly controlled eye movements. Misjudgments in distance, speed, and location will be common in sports play. Slow reaction time can also be expected of a child who has poor eye movements. Now we're going to talk about some visual perceptual skills, and the first is gross motor skills, or bilateral integration, and it's the efficient visual input to the body's relationship with its surrounding space, commonly referred to as eye-body coordination. Good bilateral integration skills allow children to use their visual system to monitor and adjust to placements of the body weight against the gravitational forces on both sides of their body's midline, allowing for good balance and coordination. So children with poor eye-body skills may have difficulty in areas such as sports, learning to ride a bicycle without training wheels, or general clumsiness. Other considerations can include confusion of left, right, and directional points. Fine motor skills are considered poor eye-hand coordination, and poor handwriting can take longer to complete written assignments. These kids, they usually become frustrated over time and lose concentration, resulting less time on task. Homework that should take 15 minutes may take 3 hours to complete. And they get very, very frustrated. Mm-hmm. And the parents get very frustrated. Lateral awareness and directional concepts include letter, number, and word reversals, and the ability to know where they are in space or visual spatial orientation. Many parents and educators considered letter reversals after the age of 7 to be a symptom of dyslexia. While this can be true in some cases, the most common cause of reversals in older children is a lack of visual spatial development, such as consistently knowing left from right, either in relationship or on their own bodies or in their world around them. Kids with lateral and directional concepts, when they're young, they'll put their shoes on the wrong feet. Mm. When I was young, we used to go roller skating a lot, and there was a young girl who always put her skates on the wrong feet, and her feet would be going different directions. Sure. So we'd go over and say, "Hey, can we help you with your skates?" She said, "They feel funny,"
I
because
they
were going the opposite way. But she didn't realize that. Children with poor visual processing have not developed adequate skills in visual perception and spatial orientation, such as laterality and directionality. Now, visual perception is the ability to interpret, analyze, and give meaning to what is seen. Visual perceptual skills can be broken down into the following areas. Visual discriminations, the ability to determine exact characteristics and distinctive features among similar objects or forms. So in reading, this skill helps children distinguish between similarly spelled words. They will miscall was, saw, then, when, won, on, for, from, and run, ran. Visual memory is the ability to remember for immediate recall the characteristics of a given object or form. This skill helps kids remember what they read and see by adequately processing information through their short-term memory, from where it's filtered out into the long-term memory. Children with poor visual memory may struggle with comprehension. They will often subvocalize or softly whisper to themselves as they read in order to help compensate auditorially. They may have difficulty remembering what a word looks like or fail to recognize the same word on another page. They may also take longer copying assignments because they must frequently review the text. Also, they have difficulty with spelling. Visual-spatial relations is the ability to distinguish between the differences of similar objects and forms. This skill helps children in understanding relationships and recognizing underlying concepts. This area is very closely related to problem solving and conceptual skills required for higher level science and math. Visual form constancy is the ability to mentally manipulate forms and visualize the resulting outcomes. This skill helps children distinguish differences in size, shape, and orientation. Children with poor form constancy may frequently reverse letters and numbers. Visual sequential memory is the ability to remember forms or characters in correct order. This skill is particularly important in spelling. Letter omissions, additions, or transpositions within the words are common for children who struggle with this skill. They often will subvocalize, whisper, or talk aloud as they write. Recognizing and remembering patterns may also be difficult for them. Visual closure is the ability to visualize a complete whole when given incomplete information or a partial picture. This skill helps children read and comprehend quickly. Their eyes don't have to individually process every letter and every word for them to quickly recognize the word by sight. This skill can also help children recognize inferences and predict outcomes. Children with poor visual closure may have difficulty completing a thought. They may also confuse similar objects or words, especially words with close beginnings and endings. Visual figure ground is the ability to perceive and locate a form or object within a busy field with much visual stimuli. This keeps children from getting lost in the details. Children with poor figure ground may become easily confused with too much print on the page, affecting their concentration and attention. They may also have difficulty scanning text to locate specific information.
Okay, Dr. Wendy, in a moment, we're going to share some important questions that parents can ask about their child. But before we do that, we're going to take another break. This is For the Sake of Your Eyes with Dr. Wendy Strauss-Watt.
This is Dr. Wendy Strauss-Watt with an eye care message for the sake of your eyes. Vision directly affects how you learn. 80% of all learning during a child's early school years is obtained through vision. 10% of all preschoolers and 25% of kids in kindergarten through sixth grade have vision deficiencies. Many of them are undetected because few children receive comprehensive eye exams. School screenings only pick up 5% of all vision problems. Don't delay. Make an appointment for your child today. Dr. Wendy Strauss-Watt, Du Bois Vision Clinic, 90 Beaver Drive, Du Bois, 371-2020. Does your child read below grade level? Have trouble comprehending? Avoid reading or other close-up tasks? Omit, turn around, or confuse words when he reads? Lose his place or use his finger to follow a line of print? Become easily distracted, struggling to remain on task? Does he have a short attention span? Have difficulty doing schoolwork for more than short periods of time without needing breaks? Does he tire quickly when he reads? Does he suffer from eye strain? Do her eyes redden or water while reading? Complain of blurred vision or double print? Do the letters on the page seem to move when she reads? Does she squint, frown, or rub her eyes when reading? Do they have an eye that wanders or floats? Do they tilt their head at an angle or hold books too closely when they're reading? Is an eye covered when they're reading? Do they have difficulty copying assignments from their book or from the board? Do they reverse numbers and letters past the first grade? Do they fail to complete assignments on time? Does it take too long a time to do homework? Do they appear unmotivated or lazy? Do they seem frustrated with school? Do they suffer from poor self-esteem or complain of headaches? Do they struggle with eye-hand coordination or poor handwriting? Are they sometimes awkward or clumsy? Do they have difficulty catching or hitting a ball? Or do they show symptoms of attention deficit disorders, even though they function normally outside of school? 2020 is not enough. And if your kids are struggling in school, please get their eyes checked. But you need to have a comprehensive eye exam that tests all these visual perceptual areas as well as vision. This is Dr. Wendy Strauss-Watt with an eye care message for the sake of your eyes. To contact me, please call 814-371-2020. My office is located at 90 Beaver Drive in the Rice Complex. Any questions, call and we'll answer them right away. Thanks.
All right. Dr. Wendy, thank you so much for that very valuable and helpful information on this week's For the Sake of Your Eyes. Dr. Wendy will be back in a couple of weeks with more here on Connect FM.
Did I do too much there at the end? It just kind of-